astray so far as what we are witnessing in the year 2015. How sad it is, the circumstances that we all face in the home, church, school, neighborhood, and even in our nation. There has never been a similarity of what we are seeing in the year of 2016, particularly that surrounds us in every facet of life. Only two times in the historicity of the human race. That's 300 AD and, of course, 300 BC. 300 AD, the Grecian Empire. The things that was going on there in the home, youth, family, government is so familiar what we're seeing right today. And that Grecian Empire fell, as we know, in 332 when Alexander the Great and that whole regime was conquered. Then the second time is in 300 BC, the Grecian Empire, but the 300 AD, in the year of our Lord, the Roman Empire. And how familiar was it with what's going on? And we run that parallel today. It's interesting to observe over 2,000 years ago, one of the Grecian educators, a man by the name of Plato, he uttered these words: if you want to conquer a nation without ever firing a shot, all you have to do is capture the minds of their youth, and with drugs and with music, you can conquer that nation without firing a shot. When we think about one of the founding fathers of the communistic empire, man by the name of Joseph Starling, in 1935, he basically uttered the same words. If you want to conquer, but he parenthetically insert the United States of America, they can keep their military and all of their money, but give me their youth, give me their drugs, and give me their music, and we will never have to go to war with the United States. And we'll conquer that. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what we are witnessing today is the very same thing. I want to discuss with you, starting off, our youth. If you were to turn to Psalms 127, and we're going to look at that narrative in verses 1 through verse number 5. When we fail as parents, our children are likely to fail as people. And we are just about one generation away from total distinction. It is a serious, serious matter. Except the Lord build the house, they do labor in vain that buildeth it. Oftentimes we want to strengthen our houses, our dwelling places, bring them up to code, to 175 miles an hour to withstand hurricanes. We usually go to Home Depot, or usually go to Lowe's, or usually go to Ace Hardware to get those materials to strengthen our houses. But where do we go when we need home repairs? We have to go to the Word of Almighty God. There are several essentials that we need to look at, but the three basic thrusts is the instructions. Number two, the example. And not only instructions an example, but more critically, discipline. And that's the basic foundation for survival when it comes to the word of Almighty God. That is instructions from the book of God. That is you and I being examples, and then something that we've forgotten, and that's discipline. Now here the psalmist says, except the Lord build the house, they do labor in vain that buildeth it. And then in verse number 3, lo, children are the heritage of God. Now there are some terms that need to be identified and actually need to be defined in order for you and I to understand what is being said in this narrative. First of all, lo, children are the heritage. Now, when we think about that word heritage there, that word simply means property, possessions. That word simply means gifts. Now, when we put those definitions in that passage of Scripture and reread the passage, it will read something like this. Lo, children are the property of Almighty God. This word also carries the idea of someone instructing. Lo, children are heritage. They are the possessions. They are the property of God. Now, when we think about that, if the children, our children, are God's property, if they are God's gifts that has been given to you and I to be instructed based on the word of Almighty God. Children has been given to us precious, loving, wonderful gifts that God has given to us, and we are to exercise stewardship over those children in instructing them in the word of Almighty God. Now, we also think about this word. Children are the heritage. It also carries the idea not only of gifts, but something has been given to us to dedicate. Now, we see that in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 5. We see that in Deuteronomy 20 and verse 5. We see that in 1 Kings 8, verse 6 to 3. When we talk about 1 Kings 8, we're talking about when Solomon was given the gift, the heritage of building the temple. And he was to build that temple based on specifications. And he was to build that temple for God. He had to follow holy divine mandates. Not only that, when we look at Deuteronomy 20, even if we back all the way up to Deuteronomy 5, even if we back all the way up to Genesis, when God started this world with family. Isn't it interesting that God started this world with family, with the home? And isn't it interesting that that home had instructions, Genesis 2 and verse 15? Isn't it interesting that when God started the home and established it, he established it for no other purpose than for man's happiness? Isn't it interesting in Genesis 1 and 2, when there was no sin, what a world that must have been. What a world that must have been. Before sin came, no kinds of problems. And when God gave that man that home in Genesis 2 and verse 8, because after he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, man became that living soul. In verse number 7, Then God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he placed that man. And in Genesis 2 and verse 15, God gave that man divine instructions to dress that home and to keep it. And verse 16, that one prohibition he gave man. And of course, sin comes. And from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the book of Deuteronomy, when we think about even the 18 plus generations, there were good men between there, but then there was so much ungodliness as well. We remember Enoch. We know what his name means and how he walked with God, how he had an influence even on his son and, of course, his grandson. That's Methuselah and Lamech. And then, of course, Noah as well, all the way to Abraham. But from Genesis chapter 3, it saddens us that there was not one functional family that you can find in the first 50 chapters of the Bible. Not one. People had drifted from Genesis 3 to the end of the book of Genesis. And even when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, when those children of Israel getting ready to cross over into Canaan's land, one prohibition: teach your children the word of Almighty God. And they began to do that for 70 years when they crossed over into Canaan. And after that 70 years, under the leadership of Joshua, we see man begin to drift again. In Judges 2, 7, 18, it's another generation that rose up that knew not God. We as parents, we had better realize that our children does not belong to us. We can only say our children in an accommodative sense. Children are an heritage, the property of God. God has placed in our possession these children, and you and I must dedicate those children back to God, just as Hannah did Samuel, and instruct those children in the way of Almighty God. Now notice the reading in Psalm 127. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They are just like arrows. Now we understand that that pouch on someone's back that have arrows in them, and we understand the bow and all of that, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And that those men, when they shoot those arrows, they're shooting them at a specific target. What is the psalmist trying to get us to see in order that we might have stronger, godly, more capable children? We are to shoot our children in certain areas of accomplishments. If we want to see dividends in our children, I'll tell you, it's not going to come from the sports world. You're not going to get any dividends there. It's not going to come from the entertainment world. You're not going to get any dividends there. When we talk about dividends, we're talking about secular education, and we're talking about spiritual education. That's where your dividends come. That's where they come. And that's where we are actually losing the war. Now, how is this to be done? What are some of the things that you and I can do this morning in order that we might insulate our children, because we can't isolate them from the world? Well, let's see. And running parallel to that, there is a passage in Proverbs chapter 22 that we all are certainly familiar with. And that passage says, teach a children, teach a child, or train up a child in the way that child should go. And when that child is old, that child will not depart from it. Now, let's look at that very closely. Preliminary to his analysis here. Train, teach a child. When we think about this word train here, that word was used at least four ways that runs actually parallel to Psalms 127. It was used, first of all, for dedication something. It was used, secondly, for instructions. It was also used for discipline. And then it was used to create thirst or appetite. Now, let's explain that. When the word is used, train or teach, for dedication. When a man in Deuteronomy 20 was going to war and he built a house, he was actually excused from combat lest he gets killed and never be able to dedicate that house or home, if you will. Also, the word was used for instructions. We are to teach our children. Deuteronomy 6, will not go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou teach their children and your grandchildren the word of Almighty God. Train, teach. Also, the word was used during Jewish culture as well. This word train, shenak, this word teach, it was what a person would do with a horse. They would get that rope at that particular time and put the rope in the horse's mouth to give the horse guidance, to be able to have the horse under control. Similar to what people would do today using a bit. You get a wild horse, lasso the horse, you bring that horse under control by using certain different kinds of bits. Might start off with that cur bit. That's that bit with the thorns on the inside. Brings more pressure to the tongue until you break that horse. Not his will or his spirit, but to bring him under the control. Because you still want the horse to run just as fast, pull just as strong, jump just as high. But now you can control the horse by how many children, because what the proverbial writer here is suggesting with this word train, you know, that little bundle of joy that we hold in our arms, that little pumpkin. The proverbial writer is telling us if they are not disciplined, they are nothing but wild horses. And how many times we see that activity going on? Sometimes even in the church, Walmart, all kinds of places. Children are just wild horses that the parents have not brought, as what God says, under control. How is that to be done? Just to delineate that just a little bit further. It's going to take the rod, according to what God says, and it's going to take corrections. Drop that down just a little bit further. What on earth does that mean? It's going to take, according to what God says, some speaking, but it's also going to take some spanking. Now, I know that's a lost art. I know what we're facing in government. Let's just see what the Bible says about it. That's what it's going to take. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 through 26. He that spareth the rod, hateth the son. Hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasten him betimes. Isn't that an interesting passage? That I'm sure we know, but it just has been forgotten. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that chasteneth him loveth him betimes. In Proverbs 22, withhold not the rod. A foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22. But the rod of corrections will soon drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, withhold not the rod from the child. For if thou beateth him, he shall not die. If thou beateth him with the rod, the very next verse, thou delivereth his soul from hell. According to what God says when it comes to rearing a train, yes, it's going to take some instructions. It's going to take some speaking. But the Bible says it's going to take some spanking. Why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And if that child is not given proper directions, proper instructions, Proverbs 29 will bring shame or embarrassment to his or her parents. There is only one way to do it, and we must do it God's way. If we don't do it God's way, then, of course, we're going to fail. And if we fail as parents, our children are likely to fail as people. And that's exactly what is wrong today. It's amazing to me that an entire culture in the United States are being controlled today. Being absolutely controlled, an entire culture, particularly by youth. When you think of the drug scene, when you think of the body piercing scene, when you think of athletes and all other kinds of entertainers, with all of the ink and everything poured up and down, that seemed like it's the norm, what has happened. That seemed like it's the norm today. What has happened? It's been adrift from the word of Almighty God. And this entire culture is being influenced by that. Not only that, when we think about this word train, shanak, it was also used a third way. It was what a midwife would do. Y'all study that word sometimes. It'll help us to understand these passages, give us a great, great idea, and help us to be obedient to them. It's not very, very hard. But it was what a midwife would do when delivering a child. And when that child was delivered, that midwife would usually take some crushed dates and stir her finger around in those dates. Because the word Shanet not only talks about the palate of a horse and being controlled with the bit, but it talks about the palate of a child, of the gums of a child. And when that child was delivered, that midwife would run those dates up and down on the gums of that little infant child on the tongue. I wonder what that midwife was doing. She was stimulating suckling. She was stimulating appetite to get that little child to begin to nurse to live. Now you put that etymology back into that verse, and see what it means to you. You and I as parents, if I'm understanding this passage correctly, and trust me, I am, we as parents, we are to stimulate the right avenues in our child's life. We teach, we train a child. They are to begin to nurse on the word of Almighty God instructions. And when those things are done, the child becomes more spiritual if we allow the child to make their own decisions, to do what they want to do. You know, that's a sad situation. I'm not going to raise my children like my father and mother raised me. We hear that all the time. I'm going to let our children make up their own minds. That's not a consistent statement. There are some things you don't allow your child to do. Let me ask you, do you still make your children take baths? Do you make your children wash themselves, keep up their personal hygiene? Of course you do. We have to get back with the word of Almighty God. We are to train or rear or teach our children. And then we could bypass so much of this. We're just one generation from becoming extinct in this United States. Let's look at the passage again. Teach a child. Take that child, devote that child, just as Solomon, 1 Kings 8, just as in 1 Chronicles 8, dedicating that temple, just as Solomon, 2 Chronicles 7, just as the man with his house, Deuteronomy 20, just as Israel inherit Canaan. That was a gift from God. That's what we have to look at. We teach, we train our children. Now watch the next phrase. In the way the child should go, we bring them up. Not send them, bring them, rear them up in the way. Now, here's another interesting phrase there. D-E-R-E-K. That's the word there for that phrase, in the way. And this way talks about the cutting of a furrow. It's an engineering term used. The cutting of a furrow for certain roadways. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, if Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is telling me that I am to train a child in the way that child should go, not in the way that I want them to go. So many parents, it's sad to say, are trying to relive their failures in their children. We are to see the strengths of our children, the areas that they are strong in, the things that they can accomplish. And we are to cut that road out for them. We have a responsibility as parents. And so many parents that they think just as if that these wonderful, these precious, these loving gifts that God has given us in the form of our children, in the form of our grandchildren, that we as parents not going to have to stand before God and give an account. Yes, we are. If we fail as parents, God wants us to instruct those children that one day they can come to heaven and, of course, see him. You train that child in the areas where their strength lies, in the way that they should go. And after often stated, and I hope all of us understand the pastor, certainly not the next phrase, when he's old, he won't depart. It's not teaching the impossibility of apostasy. No, it's not. But what is teaching us this morning, the child is more likely to stay in that path when the child is taught than a child that is not taught, than a child that is not disciplined. That child is going to fall by the wayside more often than not. But a child that is taught the word of God, the child that is disciplined, the child that has been dedicated to the services of God, that child has a better percentage of making it in his life than the one that has not been taught. You remember the word over there in Ephesians 6, a New Testament word, the word nurture there? In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey the Lord, for this is right. Then honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first commandment with promise. And then we get that word, children, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them, bring them up, nurture them. We practice it all the time with animals. You got a calf, you have a puppy, you have a kitten, you nurture that little animal. What are you doing? Nurture. Why is it that you begin to massage that body, caress that animal with warmth? Why is that? Why is the midwife takes her finger in those dates and rub them all around the palate of that baby's mouth? Why is that? You're trying to get that animal or that child, you're trying to get it to eat, to live. That's why you coax that animal. That's why you rub that animal. That's why you caress that child. You're trying to get that child to eat, to live. That is nurture. That is what's being said in these passages. And it's so very, very sad today that parents today spend, what, 3.5 minutes of quality time per day on the average with their children? 3.5 minutes is not enough nurturing. It's just not enough. Parents get too busy making money, providing $400 tennis shoes, ripping and running after every sport the world offers. When fathers and mothers does not instruct their children in the way of Almighty God, they are not doing what's right. We are to nurture our children. We are to rear our children in the admonition, that's discipline, in the admonition of the Lord. Teach a child, train a child in the way the child should go. And certainly doesn't prevent the possibility of apostasy. Because you turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11, you would see exactly that. And I certainly parenthetically insert that because I know that you can have two children. They come out the same home. The parents did the very, very best. Bad children can come out of good homes. I know it's a sad thing, but it's exactly right. You can have the parents, a godly elder, gospel preacher, and teach their children the same thing. One turn out to be a gospel preacher. One turn out to be a godly elder. Other one turn out to be an outlaw. Was they instructed in the different teachings? No, absolutely not. We have responsibility to the Lord. And when we've done the very, very best that we can, the very, very best example that we can, being that example, eliminating those choices, those bad choices, because if our children see us doing something wrong, we be the very best godly examples, and we eliminate those choices. When the parents doesn't drink, parents doesn't smoke, parents doesn't run around, parents doesn't gamble, parents dress modestly. When the parents set the right example, they eliminate all of those ungodly choices that the children perhaps will make when they get down in that dormitory, when they get on those college campuses. And that college campus could easily be Freed Hardeman or any other Christian college. Parents are the first teachers. Now notice, in Hebrews chapter, in 1 Kings chapter 11, you can see it, I just quoted to you. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse number 4. We see in the earlier verses, Solomon, he did not live up to the knowledge he possessed. I'll say that. He failed miserably to follow his own advice. But he actually gave us a philosophy of life that should guide our lives the last day we live on this earth. In verse number 4, when Solomon was old, you see that in your Bibles. Remember Proverbs 22:6, cross-reference, teach a child, rear a child, train up a child in the way the child should go. When the child is old, child will not depart. 1 Kings 11:4, when Solomon was old, the same man that is the penman of the proverbial writer. When he got old, he departed from the Lord. Bad children come out of good homes. Bad children can fail in good homes. And good children can come out of bad homes. You remember Adam and Eve? Brothers and sisters, I know they had a good daddy. I know Adam and Eve had a good daddy. But look what happened to them. The Lord expects us to teach and rear our children and to eliminate those choices. And somewhere along the line, we fail so miserably until we find ourselves in the situation that we're in right today because of a failure of instructions, because of a failure of example, and because a failure of discipline. because of failure of discipline. Now we got our generation so disrespectful. The curse words that you hear when you go to high school situations. Who child is that? Who's the mother of that child? Who's the father of that child? Now let's look at it again in our remaining moments. God tells us that he's going to bless us with some gifts. That's children. He's going to give us 17 to 27. That's how long it took me to get one out of my house because of school, of course. But he gives me that length of time to indoctrinate that child, to be an example for that child. I never had to worry about my children when they were in college to picking up bad habits, because that never was in my wife and I home. Our children know nothing about immorality in our home. Nothing about drinking or smoking or domestic violence or gambling or all of those types of things. Know nothing about being improperly dressed, bad attitude toward seniors, the police department, school teachers. You know why? Because we as parents, we knew we had to eliminate those choices out of our children's lives. If they see the parents doing it, it's going to be difficult for the school teachers. It's going to be difficult for the police departments. It's going to be difficult for the elders, for the preachers. It's going to be difficult. Because then the ungodliness of the parent become the standard and not God's word. Not God's word. So therefore, we must be the example. And when we discipline them when they are young, you know, another illustration right in that word that I didn't use, but I'll just give it to you there because I remember something. It talks about the bending of a bow in that archer business when you get ready to shoot that arrow to a certain target and you bend that bow to string that bow. I can remember my parents telling me so many days, you bend the sapling while it is young, because when that sapling get old, it'll break before it bends. And when we wait too late for discipline, rear, train, teach, it's too late. We take no pleasure in this at all. It breaks our heart where we are. It really does. We're in a sad, disgusting situation in the year of 2016 because so many of us have failed as parents, and we want everybody else. We blame everybody else. The primary responsibility for rearing children, being the first teachers, is the parents. Nobody else. Deuteronomy 6, parents are the first teachers. And we are to instruct. We are to discipline. And we are to be the correct example. My time is gone, but we'll finish this study in the moments to come. I enjoyed the class. Thank you so much for listening.